This is chapter 21 in our continuing project about the race riots in Wales and Great Britain in 1919. Chapter 21, Black America after 1919. How are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? For African Americans, World War I highlighted the widening gap between US rhetoric regarding the war to make the world safe for democracy and the reality of disenfranchised and exploited black farmers in the South or the poor and alienated residents of the northern slums. Black soldiers fought valiantly in World War I. The main example that's often quoted are the Harlem Hellfighters. The 369th Infantry Regiment, formerly known as the 15th New York National Guard Regiment and commonly referred to as the Harlem Hellfighters, was an infantry regiment of the New York Army National Guard during World War I and World War II. The regiment consisted mainly of African Americans, though it also included several Puerto Rican Americans during World War II. With the 370th Infantry Regiment, it was known for being one of the first African-American regiments to serve with the American Expeditionary Forces during World War I. Before the 15th National Guard Regiment was formed, any African-American who wanted to fight in the war had to enlist in the French or Canadian armies. The regiment was nicknamed originally the Black Rattlers. The nickname Men of Bronze was given to the regiment by the French, but Hellfighters was given to them by the Germans during World War I. The 369th spent 191 days in frontline trenches, more than any other American unit. They also suffered the most losses of any American regiment, with 1,500 casualties. The Hellfighters returned to New York. And they were some of the many soldiers who returned across, black soldiers who returned across America. In particular, those that returned to northern cities, only to face continuing racism and the 1919 race riots. But these soldiers were changed by the freedoms they experienced, especially in France and Britain. This was a time of working class black people recognizing if they did not seek change, there would be none. After the initial excitement and awards associated with returning heroic black soldiers and the cordial welcome they first received, even though it was brief, things quickly turned into the Red Summer, with over 37 race riots. And by race riots, I mean white mobs attacking black people. And there were more than 36 race riots across American cities. As African Americans realized that President Wilson's notion of democracy did not extend to them, and they then evolved a collective will to fight back against mob violence rather than turn the other cheek. With the end of the First World War and the rise of the Harlem Renaissance, the term New Negro was widely publicized as a synonym for African-Americans who would radically defend their interests against violence and inequality. An article in the Messenger Journal published in August 1920 entitled The New Negro, What Is He? By the editors, provides a clear picture of the term in which they describe that the new Negro will be radical and self-defending to pursue the right to political and social equality, unlike the gentleness of the old Negro, who is satisfied with the status quo. But the American government made its position clear. The FBI reported that leftist views were winning converts in the black community, and that the NAACP was urging the colored people to insist upon equality with white people and resort to force if necessary. J. Edgar Hoover, then a medium-level officer in the FBI, analyzed the riots for the Attorney General, blaming the Washington, D.C. riots on numerous assaults committed by Negroes upon white women. For the October events in Arkansas, he blamed certain local agitation in a Negro lodge. A more general cause he cited was propaganda of a radical nature. He charged that socialists were feeding propaganda to black-owned magazines such as The Messenger. At least 13 Army veterans, black Army veterans, were lynched across the United States after the war, many of them still in uniform, which, when worn in public, many white people saw as an affront to America's racial caste system. It was the opposite of the reception many black soldiers received, they would believe they would receive when turning home. Their choice to serve in the war spurred on by intellectuals like Du Bois, who believed it would be a path to equality. Simon Balto, professor at University of Iowa, says, World War I was very much a broken promise for basically all African Americans. But the people who felt the brokenness of that promise most acutely were the veterans who had gone and risked their lives for this supposed war to make the world safe for democracy, and then came home to find that the country was still going to deny African Americans the privilege of democracy. The words of Jamaican poet Claude McKay summed up the change. If we must die, let it not be like hogs, hunted and penned in an inglorious spot, while around us bark the mad and hungry dogs, making their mock at our accursed lot. If we must die, oh, let us nobly die, so that our precious blood may not be shed in vain. Then even the monsters we defy shall be constrained to honour us, though dead. O kinsmen, we must meet the common foe. Though far outnumbered, let us show brave, and for their thousand blows deal one death blow. What though before us lies the open grave? Like men, we'll face the murderous, cowardly pack, pressed to the wall, dying, but fighting back. Claude McKay, 1919, published in The Liberator. The racism and violence experienced by black people led veterans in northern cities to create defense groups and even to place snipers on rooftops. After this, there was no turning back to the days of sullen acceptance and violence that was never likely to lead to court action, let alone sentence for racists. 1919 saw a resurgence of the Ku Klux Klan and those like it, but it also led to an undercurrent that, it could be argued, led to the Black Panther movement. World War I, 1919, the reception the soldiers received, and the riots was a turning point in America that still continues.